Welcome to Points of Departure, a podcast from the Arkansas Global Changemakers in coordination with KUAF Public Radio,
where we aim to place pressing social issues into global context
and bring communities together to find local solutions to global challenges.
My name is Lawrence Hare, Associate Professor of History in the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences.
And I am Rogelio Garcia Contreras, Teaching Assistant Faculty in the Walden College of Business.
And I'm Daniel Carruth, a producer and reporter for KUAF Public Radio. And we're your hosts for Points of Departure. Coming up on Points of Departure, making green business work locally.
As businesses are reaching out to us wanting to start somewhere, and that kind of, you know, follows along with the city's recycle something, that something sometimes is just enough.
We'll hear from Heather Elzey and Taylor Osborne, representatives from the city of Fayetteville, working on a green business guideline and learn about their collaboration, developing, piloting, and troubleshooting the guide with students from the University of Arkansas. That's all coming up next on Points of Departure.
When you hear a story on KUAF, there's a lot that goes on behind the audio. Reporters, editors, engineers, producers, and listeners like you make stories come to life. From international headlines to snapshots of your own community, we bring information directly into your homes, cars, and headphones. So join us in delivering quality journalism by going to supportkuaf.com. And thank you for making public radio a priority.
So before we settle into this episode, there is one term you might hear sprinkled throughout the conversation.
B Corp certifications.
So what exactly is a B Corp certification? Rogelio?
B Corp certification is a third-party certification that businesses pursue. It's through a points system, and it touches on five different sections of the business that relate to sustainability, governance, consumers, community, environment, and workers. And you, by virtue of identifying different business models that associate with each of these points, and you need up to 80 to be certified.
And that's a thing that the university has a project to help companies move for B Corp certification, though.
Yes, you can actually...
We had an episode of this podcast that discussed it.
You can actually listen to our episode on a P4 consulting initiative where we help businesses in the state of Arkansas that are interested in obtaining the certification to work through the process.
All right, vocabulary lesson over. Now on to the conversation on Points of Departure.
So hello and welcome to another episode of Points of Departure. My name is Rogelio Garcia Contreras and I am here today at the KUAF studios in Fayetteville with our colleague and producer Daniel Carruth and my co-host and partner in crime, Dr. Lawrence Hare.
Hi, Rogelio.
Hello, Lawrence. So Lawrence, we have a great conversation lined up today on a topic that is of great interest to the two of us, Lawrence, and I, of course, our guests. For the last 24 months, we have been working with our guests on what we call a green business guideline for the city of Fayetteville. And this guideline, the green business guideline, or GBG, is a benchmark to provide Fayetteville businesses, mainly in the restaurant and retail sectors, a path to a more sustainable and socially responsible operation. So in collaboration with several classes at the Sam M. Walton College of Business, our guests have been working with students in the design, implementation, and gradual improvement of a green business guideline for the city of Fayetteville. So we have been working essentially on drafts, right? And during the last four semesters or so, students have collaborated with different local businesses in the design and development of several drafts of this guideline. But last semester was a little bit different because as part of our Consulting for Social Impact Honors Colloquium class, all these drafts were consolidated into one general draft, and we piloted the implementation of such draft among seven different organizations in town. I think the process was a success for many different reasons, and this is part of the conversation we want to have with our guests today. I think one of the most important things is that local businesses that partner with students in the class offer a unique perspective to understand the challenges associated with the implementation of the proposed guideline, and the process certainly help us identify what works and what doesn't work about the current draft, as well as we were able to identify some best practices that were not considered in the original draft, right? So on one end, the project is very good because it offers students the opportunity to learn by doing and consulting, gain some consulting skills, and learn about benchmarks and methodologies to foster the consolidation of sustainable business practices in our region. And at the same time, it consolidates a network of like-minded organizations and individuals to support sustainable business practices that our guests have been leading for a long time in our city. So I share all this as a preamble of the kind of commitment and dedication our guests have had on issues related to the viability of sustainable practices in our city, our beloved Fayetteville. Both of our guests for this episode are committed to sustainability practices, and their daily work is testimony of this. So it is an honor for me to welcome Heather Elsie, who is an environmental educator at the Recycling and Trash Collection Department of the City of Fayetteville, and Taylor Osborne, who is a sustainability coordinator at Boston Mountain Solid Waste District. Heather, Taylor, welcome to Points of Departure.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you. Yes, so much for having us.
Thank you for being here. And if I may, Lawrence, I can start with just one general question for Taylor.
Absolutely.
And Heather. Why a green business guideline for the city? Why is it important?
Well, business has a big impact on our local economy and our environment. And residents are doing a lot, whether it be recycling or composting or looking at what they purchase, their daily habits and things like that. But it isn't just on individuals, right? It isn't just on residents. Business has a big role to play in environmental sustainability. And so this guide is a way to help them be better environmental stewards, may that be through their practices or their supply chains, for example, but also what they do in our local community, ways that they give back on social issues and things like that, volunteerism, employee engagement. So I feel like the Green Business Guide gives the business an opportunity to be recognized for what they're doing environmentally speaking. That also just paints the picture to be more all-inclusive, as well as what residents are doing.
And I think as a community that has, you know, a lot of people traveling here, moving here from all around, and then also, you know, whether as a student or maybe they're just, you know, living here for a short period and moving somewhere else, being able to learn something while they're here. Our community is such an awesome platform for education and what a sustainable community, you know, what it takes to build a sustainable community and, you know, what it really looks like as, you know, hopefully other communities are able to implement these same practices. And, you know, even the Green Business Guideline, and when we challenge students to go out and working with businesses, it's this really great opportunity for them. It's almost like a pilot. Every business that we work with, even the guideline itself, for what that could look like in other communities as students graduate and move on and are building their own businesses and working, you know, in their own capacity, whatever that might be.
I want to ask about that. So over the years, the two of you have been very generous with your time, coming to the classes,
talking
with students. Rogelio and I co-taught a course before the pandemic, and you both came. In fact, I think you were some of the last guests that we had before we had to shut down in 2020. Now I'm remembering. It wasn't you. It was the pandemic. But it was a really great experience to have you in the classroom. So there's a long history of collaboration with the University of Arkansas. But this is something of a different magnitude, right? I mean, this is a project where you're leaning on the university to actually help you create a product that you're going to use to try to help the community. And I kind of want to hear the story of why you wanted to go in that direction rather than, for example, maybe looking at another community and sort of seeing what someone else is doing somewhere else? Why are you wanting to build that from the ground up here?
Yeah, this was actually a dream project of mine. I've looked at some of, you know, the bigger B Corp, you know, certifications out there, LEED certifications in the, you know, more engineering world, and which are all great goals. But, you know, what that looked like here for our businesses, and we do have such a unique community and so many businesses that are already making, you know, impacts in their own ways that you don't see in other areas. I didn't feel like Fayetteville, it's not a community that you just implement something that's already put in place because we're so unique. Yeah. And I also felt when Rahelio, you know, approached me about, you know, a project that we could involve students, to get business involvement in the community, it just clicked with me to students and businesses. Businesses love to support students, and it was an awesome way for students to get out and get businesses, you know, to engage with them, and it has worked so well. A lot of the time, students will use businesses that they're currently, you know, working at, and so they may have just been, you know, a host or a server or, you know, working in the back of the house, and now they're helping the business owners create sustainable business, you know, practices. And I, you know, watching the students take ownership and pride in the changes that they're implementing, it's just going to carry on into the power that they'll feel that they have to go out as they get jobs or start their own business to make change. And also for the businesses, they've been able to, you know, save money in certain areas. They're also the recognition of being a green business as more people are looking to support sustainable business. And, you know, I always encourage everybody, you know, vote with your dollars, you know, and I want to support businesses that are, you know, helping take care of the communities that they're in. And this is just a really great way to do that. So it's just been this really beautiful relationship between the university, the students, and local businesses.
I think too, with Heather and I's background being in solid waste management, we wanted to begin the guideline with recycling and composting, because we know that those are two very attainable actions that local businesses here in Fayetteville can achieve because they're financially incentivized services that the city offers businesses. So we wanted to start there and then see where the guideline could grow, you know, see what else could be done. So using what we already have, the resources that we already have at a local governmental level here was really beneficial. But, you know, working with the university and Dr. Rogelio was just a no-brainer because partnerships are extremely important. Collaboration is key to attaining our environmental and social goals. And so we know that we wanted and needed more eyes on this, more hands on this than just our own. And working with the students was a perfect fit. And, you know, being in our own backyard is the way to go.
The students definitely give us energy on these projects and get us excited about what we're doing.
And you mentioned, Heather, something really important that I think is key to the Green Business Guideline, and I wonder if you could comment a little bit more on this. But you mentioned existing certifications out there, you know, like the B Corp certification for those businesses that really want to go in depth in their sustainability practices and get this third-party certification to prove to their customers they are walking the talk, right? Mm-hmm. But anyone that has gone through the B Corp certification process knows that it's a very difficult process. Time-consuming, it's resource-consuming, and not every business is necessarily ready to go through the process, even though they might be interested in adopting sustainability mm-hmm. practices or maybe even have adopted some of them. The concept of the Green Business Guideline, when we discussed it the first time, I think I love it because it's not all or nothing, right? It gives the businesses the opportunity to engage. Can you say something in relation to this? Why in Fayetteville, in a city like Fayetteville, it's important to engage businesses and create some sort of a movement through the Green Business Guideline?
Well, you know, kind of touching on what Heather said earlier, too, is we do have so many folks coming to this city. And I feel like Fayetteville does have a very environmental mindset that's largely led through our mayor. And I just feel like there's a good ushering there. You know, the students usher that in, the folks who come from other places, whether it be to visit or whether it be to go to school, they come here and they can see what we're doing, and then they can take that back to wherever they're coming from. And then just the local businesses as well, just the whole idea of voting with your dollar and supporting local, and people want to support things that they believe in. They want to support a business that aligns with their own personal values. And so when the two things can come together, that's when I feel like you can really start to see great change.
Yeah. I mean, Taylor and I were challenged as environmental educators for the city with creating a 40% diversion rate. So out of all the waste in Fayetteville, we'd like to see 40% of that diverted away from the landfill using, you know, programs such as recycling and composting. We can't do that without businesses, and we can't do that without students.
Just because they produce, the businesses produce the most waste.
Yes.
Right? That's, yeah.
Definitely. And we're seeing, you know, we actually have a lot of residents that participate in our recycling programs, and the biggest needle movers that we see needing to have, you know, to get that diversion rate is going to be businesses and students. Apartment complexes are really difficult. You know, there's two of us, and going out and trying to educate an entire community, you know, we do farmers markets, community events, engagement, things like that. But now what we're creating with a green business guideline is every single business that somebody walks into, whether they be visiting or going to school here, all of a sudden becomes an educational opportunity. And so when they walk up to, say, a waste station at a business, and in Fayetteville, they're asked, you know, to look at the waste in their hand, and is this recyclable, is this compostable, or is this going to a landfill, and really making that clear distinction. And all of a sudden, we've educated somebody that may have been visiting or living here from a community that didn't have any of those things. And now they're going to take this back to their own, either their homes or businesses and communities, and say, hey, what are we doing with our waste? And so I think it's just this really awesome opportunity to expand on our education utilizing business.
Right, and that normalizes it too, right?
Like, for sure.
When you go to the business, mm-hmm. or the event, and you see recycling, you see efforts for waste reduction, you see reusable cups, you know, that brings it into the mainstream more. And so that normalization of it, the storytelling of it, which was a really big takeaway we learned from the Green Business Guideline and the students working with businesses, is that the story of sustainability is super important, because that normalizes it as well, shows success. And it also comes from, this isn't just the city, or this isn't just your hippie neighbor. You know, this is your local grocery store, this is your local auto shop, you know, whatever it may be.
Everyone's doing it.
Everyone's doing it.
That's right.
You're listening to Points of Departure. Up next, making green business work for consumers. The conversation continues after this break.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lewis. I'm CEO and founder of Edgewater Coaching and Consulting. I'm also an instructor as part of the Environmental Resiliency Program at the University of Arkansas. And I listen to Points of Departure on KUAF.
You get a lot of information on demand from KUAF's podcasts, but you can get even more from listening to KUAF on air. When you listen to KUAF's live programming feed, you get the latest news from NPR programs like Morning Edition, 1A, and All Things Considered, local weather forecasts throughout the day, news about events happening in Northwest Arkansas, and unique music programming on the weekends you won't find anywhere else. Listen for free on your radio at 91.3 FM, at our website, KUAF.com, or tell your smart speaker to play KUAF.
So did you go into this already knowing that you had a cohort of businesses who would participate in this, or did you see this as an uphill task of persuasion?
Rogelio comes to us, you know, each semester, and I think, you know, this past semester was a really good example of this. You know, the students, originally we, you know, just go out and find them. And they needed help. They came back, and it is hard, you know, to find businesses that want to take that extra time out of their day to sit down and answer questions and look at their, you know, business practices. And so usually, you know, we have 15, 20 businesses here in Fayetteville in the back of our minds that we already know are implementing certain, you know, sustainable practices. And we know that they're going to be the ones that are going to be willing to take that extra time to work with the students and to hopefully, you know, implement changes during the semester. Now, we also know that as those businesses and the students, you know, they're helping us put together information based on those changes that will help encourage other businesses to do the same, because small business owners talk. And so you're sitting around and you're having a conversation, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize, hey, they're saving money, they're getting more customers, they're getting recognition from, you know, working with the students and the city. If I was a small business owner, I'm like, these are all things that I'd want to do. And so I think it's systemic, and we'll just kind of continue to grow.
So is recognition part of the plan? Is that baked in somehow?
Yeah, we're hoping, and that is what we've challenged the students with. What does it look like? What incentives would businesses like to see? And that is what we're getting, the feedback that we're getting is, you know, how can we, you know, market, you know, create a platform where residents would be able to go on and see a list of businesses that they want to support because they're, you know, implementing sustainable change. Right now, I think the students last semester came up with this really awesome idea about a portal that businesses will be able to log into. They'll be able to track the changes that they've made, what that looks like, those efforts look like, you know, on an environmental level, you know, what that they've saved in, you know, waste reduction or electricity, things like that. But then also the community would be able to log into this same platform and be able to follow the businesses along in this really cool, you know, journey to green sustainability.
This is fascinating to me because actually the guideline has posted many different challenges. It's not only the process of identifying the key indicators that will go into it, but, you know, test it, pilot it to see if, in fact, these indicators make sense for most of the businesses that we are targeting, mainly retail, small retail and restaurants in the city, but, you know, other organizations. Actually, KUAF was part of the pilot. You know, so there's a strategy for implementation, so we need to come up with a viable strategy for the city to implement. And also the incentives, right? The incentives associated with whoever is implementing and how far they go in the implementation of the guideline. And so it's fascinating in many different aspects.
So where are we now in the process?
Yeah, I think Taylor and I, this last semester, we just sat there and acknowledged how much the students had just taught us. that final day, we just looked at each other and it's like, what we brought into this, it looks nothing like that. And we love that. We're really excited about that. And the students have taught us so much about what the businesses are looking for. And, you know, as a city, if we just put something out there and then the businesses are like, this is difficult to use, it, you know, gets in the way of my day. And now I'm really seeing that what I had pictured in my head would have just been a giant pain in the, you know, and, you know, oh, and there's going to be these three tiers with, you know, easy to achieve, you know, all goals. But some businesses were all over the place in already having implemented a lot of practices that weren't in any of those tiers, but should have definitely been recognized. But not every business could have done that. So instead, the students actually brought to us, instead of having tiers with specific action items, instead there'll be a pretty lengthy list of potential items that they can, you know, a business could do. And then it'll be based on the tiers, will be based on a percentage and of, you know, how many items they're doing. And so I think that was the biggest change that I really liked from this past semester. And then also the portal. There was a team that brought us this snapshot page of like this ultimate idea of an easy way for businesses to engage with and see track their progress, and for the community to, you know, follow that. And those were the biggest takeaways that I had from this year.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see all the differences that, and everything that we have learned, and just how far we've come with the students and all of the feedback we've gotten. It's kind of a balance, I feel like, between structure and customization. So we want to have, you know, you have to achieve a certain percentage, but you have a lot of different ways to do that. And also like looking at who we're targeting exactly, you know, like you said, there's some businesses that are LEED certified or B Corp businesses, but you know, the whole thing we've said from the beginning is that we want this to encourage businesses to do something or to do a little bit more than they were already doing. So I think a big next step is really for the three of us to, you know, kind of sit down after we finish reading all the students' reports and look at what is the easiest for businesses with the most benefit. That's always the goal.
Do you see this as a pathway to B Corp status for businesses, like getting their feet wet maybe a little?
I don't know, especially B Corp. I mean, it's awesome. It's all the things.
Yeah,
But for a local small business, I don't think it's necessary, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Taylor and I noticed and, you know, how this project kind of came to be was, so we go in and businesses are just, we have, you know, recycling and composting, and Taylor and I have this really unique opportunity of being able to talk to businesses, and we wanted to put something together that was an easy, hey, you're already reaching out to us and making these changes. You're wanting to recycle, you're wanting to compost, but we would see other changes that would not only have been, you know, really great for the business, but also for the community. But how do we have that conversation? And then we started putting a packet together, and there were all these different ideas. And so when Rahelio came to us, and this has just grown into this green business guideline, that, yeah, as businesses are reaching out to us, wanting to start somewhere, and that kind of, you know, follows along with the city's recycle something, you know, to start doing everything all at once, it's just overwhelming.
Yeah, you're giving them a way to do something on their own terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, giving them choice.
Yes,
yeah.
And I think from like a local perspective, that something sometimes is just enough.
So if listeners want to know more about GBG, where do they go to find out?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Right now, you know, it's just been us working in the classrooms with the students. And I'm definitely, I know Taylor and I, we'd love to sit and have a conversation with anybody. But the ultimate goal is to have a website, a landing page. And, you know, maybe that's a really great even takeaway from this conversation is just for businesses, you know, something where the public could go and learn about, you know, the goals of the project.
Oh, there's a way to bring more students in. Now you need your marketing people.
I'm gonna need a student.
Communication people.
There's so much work to be done. And I think part of the beauty of the GBG, the Green Business Guideline, is really a movement around mm-hmm. sustainability. And it doesn't necessarily have to lead to greater certifications or more complex certifications, but it's certainly a movement that emphasizes the importance of sustainable practices in our community and highlighting those businesses that are somehow implementing these practices. Because as Heather has mentioned, the movement is mainly driven by consumers, by those of us who vote with our dollars, as she put it. And every time we go and cast our dollar ballot to the voting booth of Walmart or Amazon or Whole Foods or whatever it is that you go and cast your ballot, is you know, every time you do it, you are not only making an economic transaction, you're also making a political one, a political decision. And that, to me, is important, especially when the Green Business Guideline is providing an opportunity for that customer to be aware of, you know, who is doing something about it, even if that business is not necessarily certified.
Yeah, and watching the students in the classroom come from, I mean, there's a handful of them, you know, that come from the School of Business, but then there's communications and engineering and all of these different backgrounds that the students are going to be able to take these ideas and practices into. And that is, you know, really awesome. And even just challenging the students while they're there in the classroom to think about, you know, yeah, the voting with your dollars. you can watch them. Like, they feel empowered. Because sometimes I think on a local level, it's like, oh, what am I really doing to make a change every day? Yeah. I can vote every day with where I shop and where I go to lunch, where I buy my groceries, where I buy my clothes. And you can make a difference on a daily basis.
I've been thinking about this a lot, about the ways that we work with businesses and teach business leaders how to be more sustainable. And I wonder if we need to do more to teach consumers how to use their dollars more effectively. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, maybe one day this Green Business Guide can help patrons as much as it can help the businesses.
Definitely. And I think that's something that came out of, not this past semester, the semester before that, and trying to engage consumers.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a student that had this really great idea to have, it was like a green business pass.
Greenway Passport.
Greenway Passport.
Yes, the original name, and still is the name.
Yeah.
That is a cool idea.
Yeah. And so the businesses that were involved already, you know, patrons of the businesses were able to get, you know, points and discounts at different places. And I think that's another avenue that I definitely want to start, you know, challenge students with, to help us, you know, what that really looks like in developing and engaging, you know, the community.
I think that's a really good point, because the reality is, you know, we all may want to wear hemp clothing to keep microfibers out of our waterways and environment from our polyester shirts, but hemp clothing is more expensive, right? And so the reality is, like, you may not be able to swap your plastic yogurt tub for a yogurt in a glass jar. And that's not the consumer's fault, right? But it's whatever they're setting their prices at. That's what the economy, the market is. So not faulting the consumer for that. Obviously, there's other ways to vote with your dollar. There's other actions you can do. But anything that we can do to help the consumer, to help the individual, and the Greenway Passport is a great idea for that, is a great option for that. So not only giving incentives to the business for participating in the Green Business Guide, but also helping the consumer support these businesses that are following more environmentally friendly practices.
And acknowledging that on the small business owners, you know, side of that, all of a sudden you've got a whole nother marketing tool.
I just want to connect with what Heather just said with what Taylor was mentioning before. And I think that's the reason for which I love the concept of the Green Business Guidelines so much, because it offers the possibility for both businesses and consumers to engage in sustainability practices that are not necessarily linked to higher prices, right? Or, you know, I think in that sense, the movement that is behind the guideline, is, you know, creating this awareness on the many different dimensions of sustainability, is very important.
Yeah, we learned a really cool one. So our local library here is using all natural cleaners. And I was really excited, because to have something, you know, that engages the public regularly, definitely wants to have a clean environment for everybody. They're showing natural cleaners are just as effective and are not going to be detrimental to our drinking water. And so helping businesses make that connection and then seeing it already being practiced, that I think is also going to help. So then being able to connect businesses through the, you know, through a platform, so that they can also learn from each other. And it is just this wildly awesome opportunity for education at on so many different levels.
Well, let me try to sum up. We have been really interested, the Changemakers faculty have been very interested in the concept of sustainable development, and specifically how sustainable development, which we normally think of at the UN level, at the supranational level, but really how it is activated at the local level. And what we're seeing here is a prime example of how that can be done. A process, a conversation within a community on how to create guidelines, as Taylor said, how to normalize a pattern of behavior and how businesses operate and how consumers interact with business. GBGs, to me, sound feasible, they sound sustainable, they sound inclusive, and they sound impactful. And I hope that we can convince the two of you to come back and tell us how it's going as you move from planning to implementation.
Yeah, we would love that.
Definitely. Sure. It would be a really cool story to share, and you know, hopefully some we can get other press involved in as well and show other cities and communities in Arkansas and beyond. And we're not, you know, the only one doing something like this, but just how it can happen even in a place like little old Arkansas.
That's right, that's right. Well, Heather, Taylor, thank you so much for joining us this episode of Points of Departure. We appreciate the work you do for our city and all the work that you have been doing with our students. Thank you very much for your dedication and commitment.
Thank you all.
Thank
so
you all.
Much.
You've been listening to Points of Departure. Your hosts are Rogelio Garcia Contreras and Lawrence Hare. I'm Daniel Carruth. Points of Departure is a podcast production of KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville and Arkansas Global Changemakers. For more information on topics discussed in this episode, links, and information about our guests, as well as previous episodes, you can find all of that online at KUAF.com.